Yeah. Yeah. Good morning, folks. I wanted to make an impression. Not really. When I left home this morning, I left on two legs. When I got here, one of them wasn't working. I couldn't put any weight on it. And I stood there for quite some time until Ralph went and got the wheelchair. So hopefully I'll be able to stand up again at some stage, but I think this morning I've got to deliver this message from the wheelchair. The fear of rejection is, in my mind, one of the most powerful fears that we face. And it's often at the base of other fears. For example, the fear of public speaking is rooted in the fear of making a fool of ourselves in the eyes of others and hence being rejected. I don't know if you remember Senator Steve Fielding, a Victorian Family First Senator, first elected in 2004. He lost his seat in 2010. One time in Parliament, he had trouble pronouncing some words in a speech he made. The media made fun of him, and the next day he announced to all that he has always had a learning disability, and as a result, sometimes he has trouble saying the words that he wants to say. And I can identify with that. I'm dyslexic, and if you haven't heard me mispronounce a word or two, or even forget some altogether from time to time, then you've been asleep a long time. The fear of failure is rooted in the question, what will others think of me? But the fear of rejection is overcome by focusing on God's acceptance of us. Acts 9:26-30 tells us of a time when the Apostle Paul faced a possible time of rejection. And verse 26 says, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. Paul, or Saul, was known for his persecution of Christians. And he was relentless in his thrust to wipe out the followers of Jesus Christ. And he thought that he was doing it in the name of God. Now imagine a modern day terrorist, the kind of person who would walk into a hotel in Jakarta with a few bombs strapped to them or him, and you get a good picture of Saul's zeal. There's nothing more frightening than a murderer who thinks that he's killing in the name of God. And we're familiar with people like that today. And such was the like of Saul before the Saviour found him. And as verse 26 says, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. Now imagine that a terrorist wanted to join us here for worship on Sunday morning. What would be your reaction? This would be no different than Saul wanting to join the early Christians. After all, he had slaughtered Christians and Jews in Jerusalem and in other places. And now he wanted to join them. Would you and I have some reservations about talking to him? Wouldn't we be questioning his motives? If this terrorist turned up in church, how would you react? Likewise, we can't blame the early believers for not wanting to receive Saul. Perhaps they wondered, is this a trick? Does he want to kill us all? Now, the scripture doesn't say that Saul felt a sense of rejection. That is left to our imaginations. So imagine how you would have felt if you had turned to Christ and were therefore rejected by your former zealot friends. And then, thinking that you would find acceptance in the church, how would you feel if they turned you away too? Many of us know that deep traumatic rejection festers like an open wound. And I think of the child who was abandoned by a parent, the wife who was rejected by a husband, or the young person who was made fun of at school. Though covered and concealed over time, the pain is still there and it oozes deep within. Remember when toilet rolls became such a prized acquisition? People became abusive in supermarkets in their endeavour to acquire them. Now when you visit the supermarket, there are signs everywhere telling you that there is zero tolerance for aggressive behaviour. On television, there are advertisements all the time warning against occupational violence. In the news, we often hear about school bullying, which has led to some youths taking their own lives. In my own childhood, there were some subtle but painful forms of rejection that came from not being too bright. It was unnoticeable to the casual observer, but it nevertheless caused me some pain. But I was not, as many have been, sexually or physically abused, abandoned, or used for some parent's selfish ambitions. My pain was minor compared to what many have gone through. I often wonder how people cope with such pain and rejection. Some try to drown their sorrows with alcohol or drugs. Others continue to abuse like they had been abused in the past. Others try to prove their sense of self-worth through accomplishments and higher achievements. In fact, some of the world's most successful people are driven to prove themselves and others that they really are worth something. I guess everyone feels rejected sometimes. It can sound like this. Your composition isn't what we wanted. Sorry, but we've chosen someone else for the job. I just don't want to go out with you anymore. We were hoping for someone a bit younger. The degree is good, but your leadership skills are lacking. We felt the committee was big enough already. Your voice doesn't match what we were after. The truth is, you are not the son or daughter that we'd hoped for. It's strange how powerful such words can be. And it's also true that there's not a whole lot you can do to change people's minds if they choose to shut the door in your face. I think most of us can relate in some way to the fear of rejection. We might not call it that. We might not think of it as that. But for a lot of us, we're very concerned about what others think. And we want their approval. And we don't want to be cast aside by those whose opinions of us we treasure. But the fear of rejection is overcome by focusing on God's acceptance of us. And verses 27 to 30 of our passage says this: "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he'd preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and he debated with the Grecian Jews, and they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus." Now, Barnabas did not fear Saul, nor did he fear the rejection of his fellow disciples. Like acceptance of the former persecutor, his acceptance of the former persecutor of the church served as an encouragement for others to receive him. And soon Saul was not only in their midst, but he was speaking out boldly on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, what made Barnabas receive the apostle so fearlessly, while others were hesitant to do so? And again, the scriptures don't really tell us. But we can venture an educated guess. Throughout scripture, we are taught about people who either feared God or men. For example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego feared God more than they feared Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace. And Caleb and Joshua feared God and were willing to conquer the land of Palestine. The Pharisees, on the other hand, cared more about pleasing their fellow religious leaders than they did about pleasing God. So either we will focus on what God thinks and wants for us, or we'll focus on trying to fit in and be accepted by others. And when we read about Barnabas, we see that he appeared to be a lot more concerned about what God wanted than about pleasing men. He focused more on God's agenda, than on the fearful concerns of his fellow disciples. He could clearly see God's mark on this future pillar of the church, and he was intent on bringing forth the man's acceptance among the disciples. It seems to me that those who fear rejection have their focus upon what people think of them. They do everything they can to fit in with the crowd. And we see this in the way that some people do things and wear things to attract attention. For example, body piercing, tattoos, and wearing big brand name clothes and shoes, etc. This all stems from wanting to fit in and from a fear of rejection. Remember a couple of years ago with the proliferation of Zoom meetings due to the coronavirus, There was also a corresponding increase in people seeking facelifts and plastic surgery to improve their looks. And if you can't afford that, then you might be interested to learn that Zoom has a little known setting that allows you to apply a filter to your video display that gives you a softer look and minimises appearances of imperfections. You didn't know that, did you? Acceptance is something all human beings want. Our need for acceptance can dictate the way that we live. It can cause us to live in fear of what others think. And it can even cause us to disobey God. But freedom comes when we choose, like Barnabas and Paul, to focus more on God's will for us. His love and acceptance of us, as opposed to fearing what others think. I often pray, Lord, help me to care a lot more about what you think and a lot less about what others think. In other words, help me to focus on your love and acceptance of me so I won't be so concerned about having to receive the acceptance and the approval of others. When we opt to focus on God's love and acceptance of us, we find ourselves harbouring much less concern about being rejected. We'll echo the words of Paul, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Romans 8:31. Two exercises help us to gain this new perspective that can free us from the fear of rejection. First, we need to experience God's love and acceptance. We need to read about his love for us in Scripture. We need to spend time in his presence. A young couple grow in love towards one another by spending time with each other and by sharing their innermost thoughts. And they grow apart by failing to spend time together. We need to nurture our love relationship with the Lord so we will experience his acceptance of us in a deeper way. And second, we need to be a Barnabas to others. We need to reach out to others who need to be accepted. And as we do, we'll see God's love and acceptance of us in a greater way. For when we love others, we connect with God's love, for God is love. There may be an elderly neighbour or someone in a nursing home who needs someone's time and acceptance. Or perhaps someone knows a classmate who is rejected by fellow students. Many years ago, when I was attending night school, I was trying to study accountancy. I lasted a year. I told you I wasn't too bright. And so much so, but during that year, I met a guy in the class who was very bright. So much so that all the other guys picked on him. He was English. He hadn't been in the country all that long. And with his accent and knowing the answer to every question the teacher asked, he was very unpopular with the other students in the class. In fact, after class, some of the guys tried to rough him up a bit. So the teacher asked me if I would walk to the station with him. Why he asked me, I'll never know. Well, actually, I do know. God had something to do with it. We became good friends. He started attending youth meetings with me. He started attending church with me. And he became a Christian with me one night on the train, coming home from a Youth for Christ meeting. He joined the same beach mission team as me, and he became my best man at our wedding 55 years ago. He later entered the Baptist Theological College of Western Australia. And all this happened because a teacher, who I found out later was a Christian, asked me to keep an eye on a guy who today we would say was being bullied. I never went on with accountancy, but I don't think that year was wasted. Maybe someone has neighbours who just have moved in from out of town. Maybe someone knows a homeless person. As we reach out to them, we will know God's acceptance and approval of us. Perfect love casts out fear. Experience more of God's love by first spending time with Him, and second, by being a Barnabas to others. The goal is to overcome the fear of rejection by focusing more on God's love and acceptance of us and less upon what others may think. So go on a date with Jesus. Spend time with Him by looking up scripture verses on His love and acceptance of you. Meditate upon these verses. Rest in His presence. Let us all be a Barnabas to someone who needs to experience God's love and acceptance. Ask the Lord to guide you to such a person and encourage them in some way. Try visiting a shut-in. Join the Seniors Hope team. Plan an outing with a child of a single parent. Or have someone who needs friends over for a dinner. This is exactly what our church's mission statement says. A community of people who worship, love, grow, serve, and discover Jesus together. Part of the reason I'm not saying much about getting over the pain of rejection is because I want you to look at one final individual. I don't know what conversations went on in heaven before Jesus came to earth. But once He arrived, He certainly wasn't received as He should have been. And John reports in the introduction to his gospel that He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Now, said differently, they rejected Him. Jesus was loving and gracious and kind, and He gave freely of His marvelous gifts to the world. But for the most part, people were hesitant to respond the way that He wanted them to. And some were afraid of Him. Jesus no doubt had reason to be bitter, to look inwardly at how He had been taken advantage of, to lash out, but He didn't. Okay, maybe He did speak harshly about some of the hard-hearted religious leaders, but even when they were partly responsible for His death, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Now let me add to rejection the word betrayal. This deeper hurt makes who he was and who he acted even more amazing, and how he acted even more amazing. He just kept going. He just kept encouraging. He just kept loving. And because his spirit lives in those who belong to him, we can be this way too. We can keep forgiving and encouraging and loving. And as his sons and daughters, see to it that the world has more of what it desperately needs to overcome the fear of rejection and betrayal. Encourage others by being a Barnabas. Got it? To stand tall against the fear of rejection and betrayal. Encourage others by being a Barnabas, who was like his Saviour and Lord, Jesus Christ. When we confront rejection and betrayal, we are sorely tempted to return evil for evil. Our immediate impulse is to get even. Resist that impulse. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Be a Barnabas. Be an encourager. Don't let rejection and betrayal stop you from being a faithful disciple of Jesus. Stand tall for yourself and others. Help build God's kingdom where there is love and acceptance for all God's children. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, your own denied and betrayed you. You were arrested, convicted, and condemned despite your innocence. You know exactly how we feel when we face rejection and betrayal. Your presence and power enable us to overcome these negative experiences for ourselves and for others. Grant us your spirit of power and encouragement so that we might overcome the fears that grip our souls. In your name we pray. Amen.